morning. We bless what a name that is, oh God. The name that is above all names and that we are named with as well. We bless it. We thank you, Father, for it. Lord, we just know that you have mighty things that you are planning to do today. That you, we are here by appointment, oh God. We are here, Lord, because you've called us to be here. We stand here, Lord, blessed to be in your family. So do anything and all things that you designed and planned to do before time began, so that we may be blessed in Jesus' name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will bless your holy name throughout my days. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are we blessed today? Hallelujah. While you're standing, praise the Lord, we want to remember Brother Abby and his wife in prayer. They just had a baby boy, so that's an addition to the family there. And they have a girl and a boy now, so I'm sure they're enjoying that. Also, little James, Brother James here is 13, turned 13 on Friday, so happy birthday, young man. Hallelujah. And how many's glad I'm here? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Glad to hear that. I'm glad that I can be comfortable preaching for an hour now. I feel good about that. Hallelujah. That's considered short. Now, God bless you. We sure appreciate all God's ministry, everywhere they are, whoever they are, and that God can use them to bless us in any way possible. Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles or you want to get those out, and we're going to turn to a few scriptures here. And we'll start with Romans chapter 12. Praise the Lord. And if you're there, it's chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Renew your mind, transform your life. Hallelujah. People want a change. They want a change in their life. They want something to change. Everybody talks about change all the time. You don't have to necessarily wait till the beginning of the year when people want to change things, right? Oh, this is a new year. It's a new leaf. Let's start all over. Let's make a new change. People are wanting change every day. Every day they want something different. You know, every day people want something to change. But the problem is most people don't realize that change begins when you change. You know, if you want things in your life to change, you have to change things in your life. There's no way around it. You cannot keep being who you are or doing what you're doing and expect something to change. It's not going to work that way. This is the sad lot of so many human beings today, is they just are waiting for something outside of them to change so that they can be changed. When God has designed us to be changed from the inside out, and that'll change everything going on around us. Amen. So people feel like, I don't understand why I keep getting the same crop. I just keep getting weeds. I keep getting ragweeds. I don't understand it. And then they keep planting seeds from ragweeds. And they think in their mind, I can't wait to see the wheat. I can't wait to see the barley. This is going to be great. But they keep planting ragweeds. And then more weeds come. And it's an endless cycle, and it's a bit of what they call a catch-22, snake eating his own tail, because they keep on saying what they don't want and planting what they don't want and receiving what they don't want. Make sense? So what the apostle is saying here is God has designed us, and as believers, we discover the design. You see, everybody is designed by God, but Christians get to discover the design. Whereas others are ignorantly using it. You know, why are there gun accidents that happen, especially with kids? Because kids are holding in their hands something very powerful. It's a tool, but they don't realize what it is. And they end up shooting themselves in the foot or whatever. And it's the reason for that is because they don't understand what they have. And people do not understand the power and the gift of God in their life. And so they never get to use it right. And they're using it, but it's ending up hurting themselves. The very same power that could save you, bless you, help you, also can hurt you. The same knife that could cut and kill somebody can also cut and save somebody. See, so this is the way you want to look at it. And so what Paul is saying there is we're going to be transformed. We are looking for a body change. Amen. We are looking for a life change. And that is all going to happen because of something called transforming power. And we are going to be transformed by a power, and this power is now in you by a new birth. And that power in you now can renew your mind. See, the only thing that's holding back a change in our bodies is the distance between our born-again soul and our outside body. And that distance between, that space between your soul and your body is your mind. Praise the Lord. Because your soul, spirit, and body. And that spirit and that mind is the only thing that needs changing and renewing. And if it can be renewed, then it can transform everything that's outside of it. And this is what the apostle is getting at. So renew your mind, transform your life. There are two mindsets in the world today. There's a positive mindset and a negative mindset. There's a negative mindset, or the heathen mindset, I like to call it. And then there's the Christ-like mindset. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible uses terms that is unique, but it's a sort of a dramatic way of saying these things, and that is old man, new man. So don't think you just because you're a Christian now that you're free from the old mindset. It's a long journey, saints, and it's a constant battle. And as Paul worded it, when he got to the end of his road, he said, I have finished this course. I have run this race. It was not a sprint. It was a race. And so it's a long journey, but it's a very exciting journey that we're on. Because the journey that we are on is one of moving from one particular mindset into another. It's putting off an old man and putting on a new man. You ever notice why the Bible doesn't say put on the new man and then put off the old man? You can't. You have a cup of water. It's got muddy water. You got to clear some of that out to make room. You have to clear out the room to make room. So, you know, it's always one thing and then the other. First, let's deprogram, then we will reprogram. Remember we talked about last time, the brain is simply the computer. The mind is the software. And you, your spirit, is the one who's in control of what software gets downloaded and what software is taken off. It's our choice. It's not your father's choice, your mother's choice, your teacher's choices, your neighborhood. It is not your pastor's choice. It's not anybody else's decision but yours what software gets downloaded into your brain. Whatever goes in comes out. Whatever gets downloaded into our brains comes out. You can't hide it. You think you can, but you can't. Now, on this earth, you can hide it, but it's still emanating somewhere. Our thoughts are something important to God. The Bible's very clear that God knows the thoughts of man's heart. Right? And our thoughts are important to God, and that's really what we're going to get to. Amen? That's the software. So, Ephesians chapter 4 says, Paul says this I say therefore and testify in the Lord. In other words, thus saith the Lord is what he's saying. That you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. The heathen. The world. In the futility of their mind. Now what he's saying there is people are living their lives based on whatever their mind is dictating. Whatever their truth or belief system is. That's how they live their life. And so don't walk, and notice how he's wording this, that you no longer, he's talking to believers and he's having to coach them to stop walking, living your life the way you used to, based on the futility of your mind, or in other words, this word there is on worthless thinking. That's really the Greek language. Worthless thinking. Futile thinking. Having their understanding darkened, that's the reason for futile thinking, their darkened understanding and being alienated from the life of God. In other words, Paul is saying, you're not alienated from the life of God. Your understanding is not darkened, it's enlightened. So don't continue living this way. Let's live this way. Let's start living a transformed life. We have a renewing thought pattern, a renewable mind. And he says, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. This is the mindset of the world. The mindset of the world is, I don't really care what anybody thinks. Or they try to live a moral life and they measure their moral compass based on what the really bad people are doing. You know, if somebody's really bad, then I can be a little better and I can be good, right? So now we have a moving line. You know, you're on the right side with God, you're on the wrong side with God, but the line kind of moves. So you just, you know, hopefully you can budget, you can maybe kick it a little and move it a little bit over, and you get a little closer to the world. And that's how people are thinking. And it's unconverted people. When you're born again and you realize how lost you were, and then you realize how saved you are, you want to live as close as you can to the bosom of Jesus. You're John, the beloved disciple, who's always next to his bosom. You're trying to be as close as you can to Jesus. You're not thinking, how can I be with Jesus in his group, but get away with doing however I want to do? How can I be in Jesus' group, but live the way I want to live? This is the real concept in the people's minds who become aware of God. The Jews spent the whole 2,000 years from Abraham until Jesus came trying to figure out, writing the Mishnah and the Talmud and everything else, trying to figure out, how do we stay in God's community but still live our own life the way we want to live it? And trying to, you know, split hairs and find loopholes and little things. Well, he did say this, but he didn't say this. It's true, I've read the Mishnah. It's pretty interesting. He said this, but he didn't say that. And people go around in this message thinking, oh, it's rules and do's and don'ts. He did say this, but he didn't say that. I could live like this, but I can't live like that. Instead of just live. Amen. Live for God. God's a person. Amen. It's not a bunch of rules of do's and don'ts. It's a person. We're dealing with a relationship here. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And everybody's not in the same exact place in the relationship. You know, you gotta just build your own and encourage others to build theirs. That's our job, not to pick somebody apart. We're not monkeys in a jungle picking bugs off each other. I guess that's supposed to be a nice thing. Stop picking on me. Well, you got a bug on you. You know, but that's how people think. But I love these words. But notice that worthless way of thinking is based on ignorance. I heard somebody once say this, that our real enemy is not Satan, it's ignorance. For lack of knowledge, my people perish. The devil actually is successful because people are ignorant. Because people fail to educate themselves. Because people fail to learn. And learning what it's all about. Jesus came to earth to do one thing, to learn. He learned about obedience by the things he suffered. You know, it was something, you got to understand, Jesus was a man, but it was really God living in the man. God spent his whole entire existence, never having to obey nothing. So he comes to earth, the only thing he needs to learn is obedience. In other words, God subjected himself to becoming human, to live out a human existence so he could understand us, so we could learn to understand him. So the only thing he had to learn was obedience, because that's the only thing he didn't know. And it didn't make a second person, it was the same person, but now a human person. As a human being, he's obeying the divine being, teaching us this is how you do it. Don't you love him with all your heart? So notice the mindset we read of first in Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. Then you read 20 through 24 about the Christ-like mindset. But you have not so learned Christ. See? Learning defeats ignorance. Ignorance is the open door for the devil to get away with anything. Learning creates knowledge, which defeats the devil. Hallelujah. But you have not so learned Christ. This also means that there are some who claim to be Christians who claim to know or have learned Christ but haven't learned him the correct way. Do you realize you could be taught how to play tennis by somebody who really stinks at it? You could have someone educate you on how to ski or how to use a snowboard, right, James? Go down a hill and you get the wrong person teaching you how to use a snowboard and you'll be hitting your head all the time, smashing, breaking things, hitting people. But you'll get really good after a while, if you do it enough, at doing bad. You'll become an expert at not so good. So it's better to have somebody who knows. So in other words, he's saying here, there's a way to learn Christ and do it right. You have not so learned Christ in the incorrect way, if indeed you have heard him. See, the secret of learning Christ is to be hearing from him. How many can say, I feel the Lord spoke to me today, this morning, the Lord spoke to me. The Lord spoke to me last night. How many can... This has to be your life. And if it's not, you need to say, I have to have this, Lord. Because you just said here, I'm supposed to be hearing from you. So I have to have this. So change me now. Change this relationship now to where I'm hearing from you. Because you're hearing from me, but I need to be hearing from you. That's more important. It's equally important, but it's more important. And if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, who's your teacher? The Bible says, you know, you who have the anointing need not a man to teach you. Why? Because the anointing is teaching you. Christ is teaching you. The Holy Spirit is moving you, guiding you, teaching you. Amen. My job as a teacher would be just to connect you to the teacher. I could be a teacher expressing the teacher, but the connection is for you to connect with the teacher. So that you could come to me later and say, hey, you know, the other day I asked you about this question, the Holy Spirit taught me. That's better for you because now you're growing, you're learning what his voice sounds like. My sheep know my voice. Not the under-shepherd. The under-shepherd's voice should almost be mute. That's simply connecting you to his voice. Amen. Do you love his voice? And you're being taught by him. Pardon me. As the truth is in Jesus. Do you believe that? And the truth is not only in Jesus, but he is the truth. That you put off. Now, notice, he's saying here, you've learned Christ a certain way. And what you've learned by his personal teaching you is that you have learned to put off something. Deprogram something. It's really unlearning stuff we learned incorrectly. You ever play a game of golf or something, and then somebody comes along and says, hold it like this. And all of a sudden, you're just, man, I can't believe it. One little change improves your entire game. It could be anything you're doing, the way you play piano, the way you sing, whatever. And somebody comes that's an expert, who really is successful at it, and they just give you one little tweak, and you're so much better. And that's what's happening here. So he's saying, put off. What you've learned is to put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Let me tell you something about the old man. The old man just keeps getting worse. The new man keeps getting better. The old man is up to the same old tricks. And he keeps growing corrupt. And there's times in your life when you fall back into the patterns of the old man. And you find that when you do, and now you maybe have served the Lord a long time, and you fall back into a pattern of the old man under his influence, you find yourself doing things worse maybe than you did when you weren't even a believer. And you're like, how can this even be? Because that old man will be a sticky nature connected to you until you get a body change. And believe me, when I tell you this, he's just getting uglier as he goes along. He gets worse. You ever notice how when people get older, sometimes they get more cratchety? They get like, you say, he's getting worse. It's not the person, it's the old man. It's the old mindset. It gets worse. And that's why we need a new mindset, isn't that true? So he says here, concerning the old man, you know, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful desires, deceiving desires, and be, so he's saying, put off, but then be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Listen, Paul's not foolish here. He knows that the mind of the battlefield is there. And it's there that we need to be renewed. Praise the Lord. And that you put on the new man. So notice the order there, that you've got to first put off the old man and its behavior, and then allow the Holy Spirit to renew your mind with His Word. Then when that happens, you begin putting on the new man. See the order. Put on, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Who's holy? The new man. Who's righteous? The new man. That's what it is. So we're moving from living our own life to living the life of Christ. Praise the Lord. So the new man is your inward man. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. The old man is the outward man. The outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So this is why F.S. Bosworth, laying on his deathbed, Brother Branham asked him, tell me what was in your whole here, your whole history, your whole career, looking back, what was the best day of your life? And he says, right now, today. Isn't that great? You never think, these guys all weak and shriveled and dying on a bed, and he's today. This is my best day. And that's how we have to be, because every day there's a renewing that goes on, if you allow it. You can have your mind renewed, refreshed, reprogrammed, as it were. And then he goes on to say, for our affliction is light. It's a light affliction, which is but for a moment. Some of you say, hey, I'm not in a light affliction, but I'm going to take the word of the Holy Spirit over your word. We are in a light affliction because it's measurable. I can tell you right now, we can find some people who are going through something a lot worse than you are. Oh, yeah, that wouldn't be that hard to do. But even then, it's a light affliction. And here's a man speaking who's suffered. How many times was he beaten? How many times did they stone him to death and he didn't die? The guy was pretty beat up, and yet he called it a light affliction because he's comparing it to the weight, the heaviness of the glory that God is bringing out of his life, revealing. See, watch how he says it here. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, even if it lasts your whole life, is still a moment. If you think of eternal things, it is working for us. Affliction, troubles work for you. Hallelujah. Satan is a bad devil, but he's a good devil because he's perfect to bring out of you the best. There will be no diamond without coal, and there will be no coal without pressure. You got to have the right pressure. You got to have a good pressure to make something good out of something bad. Do you see what I'm saying? And he says, "For it is for a moment and is working for us as a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, which we do not look at, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." This is very powerful here, saints, because he's not speaking about natural eyes. He's saying natural eyes, you could see things, but those aren't the things we're focused on. We are focusing on the things that our spiritual eyes are looking at. We are seeing a vision. Hallelujah. And we understand that there is an eternal weight, something heavy and valuable, like gold, of glory coming within you, which is your new body.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I mean, who cares what they do to this body? It deserves to die anyway. But what's coming out of it? That's going to bring it, because that suffering you go through, that trouble you go through, puts you on your knees, gets you to pray, see God, develops the character and the nature to match the power which is transforming you and me. Hallelujah. Do you love Him? So we don't look at the things that are seen. We're looking at things that are not seen. Do you know that most humans spend their life toiling with the things they can see? Worrying over the stuff that could happen? Stressing over things that are within their control and out of their control, but yet they know it's there and they're aware of it. And do you realize that 99% of what's available to you is not even in that realm? It's beyond that realm. And it's untapped by most. The blessings and all that God has for you is laying just beyond what you can see. But we're so focused on what we can see, we spend no time seeking out and searching and envisioning what we can't see. Oh, Brother Lodge, you can't just live in that imagination world. Yeah, you can. Why not? God gave you imagination. Do you think God had no imagination when he said, "Let there be light"? Do you think God had no imagination when he said, "Let us make man in our image"? Do you think that? Ask Brother Josh or Sister Ruth. God had imagination in making those little babies. Making us. Look at yourself in the mirror. Say, "Man, God, your imagination is incredible." And we may not understand all the things that God makes. And we may want to change things that God makes. But God makes things for a purpose, for a reason. And he expects us to be able to use our imagination. It took a man sitting there to say, "Let there be a squirrel run across the branch." I mean, you know, he created all this stuff out of his thin air, and it happened. Why are we afraid to do that? Why are we afraid to step out, venture out a little bit? Why are we so afraid? The world's not afraid. They're not afraid to preach the devil's gospel in your face. They're not afraid to spew it out on you. They don't care. They could care less. Why are you and I not afraid? Or why are we afraid? Why should we be afraid? Let's step up to the plate and let's hit a home run for Jesus. Amen. He sent us everything we need. All we have to do is activate it. What an eternal way to glory. So you see, we're not focusing on the things we can see. We are understanding that there are things that are actually, see, let me reword this. While we do not look at the things which are seen, the suffering, the light affliction, troubles of this life. Instead, we are looking, focusing on the things that are not seen, eternal weight of glory. Because that's eternal, and that's a real thing, and these light momentary things are nothing. They come and they go, and they'll be gone forever. Oh no, I'll tell you right now, this wood here, this is real wood. This is a real thing here. It'll come back 200 years from now. Let's see where this is. 2,000 years from now, where will this be? The things that are real are what made this. The invisible makes the visible. A man thought of this. See? God thought of light and made light. Light can come and go. Light's not necessarily permanent. Heaven's not necessarily even permanent, because he said heaven and earth can pass away. But my words, my thought is eternal. Your thoughts are the eternal things, not what you see. Not even necessarily your words, because sometimes we speak without thinking. Although there's some kind of thought behind there. But it's our thoughts. See, saints, you see where this goes. Watch. "For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Colossians 3, 8 through 11. "But now you yourselves are to put off all these." Anger. You could spend some time on each one of these. How many could just use a little putting off of that right about now? Put off anger. Let's put off anger. Oh, but don't I have a right to be angry sometimes? Possibly, but this is anger that is a chronic issue in your human existence. That needs to be done away with. God is not, you know, looking to rapture a bunch of angry people going around angry all the time. People, you ever see people that are angry all the time? I mean, I rent a truck from a place that I'm always nervous to go in there, because the guys, they're always angry. You make one wrong move and you're just on the wrong side of their life, and that's it. You know, you just got to deal with it, because they're just angry all the time. I don't get it. But I've seen people like that, angry. Wrath, I guess that's worse. It's crazy temper. Malice, that's just a mean-natured spirit. Mean, just want to hurt people. Blasphemy, somebody who doesn't respect life and doesn't respect God whatsoever, or religion or anything else. Filthy language, right? Look what it says here. Put these off. Put them, it's like take them off of yourself. Lay them down. Get them away from yourself. I love the way it deals with filthy language. Put it off, out of your mouth. You know, has no place there. Do not lie to one another. This is Paul preaching to believers who are already filled with the Holy Spirit. That understandably now know there's a new man and an old man. And it's a juggling act. We're constantly having to put off these things. These are evidences of the old man. And by the way, saints, if you're struggling with the old man, that's a good sign. That means you have a new man. Not everybody does. Some people are the old man. You have an old man. There's a big difference. Some people are the Gentiles. You, the Bible says, were once a Gentile. You can't, you know, you were acting it out. You were by nature like the children of disobedience. You were not a child of disobedience. But you were acting the same way. You were pretending to be one, not knowing it. Anyway, so let's put these things. So do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So this is what's renewing. It's his knowledge. It's his knowingness, God's knowingness. What Christ knows, he's transferring into your mind that you may know the same thing. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. In some places it says male or female. So the whole thing is that in the end, together we make Christ in a human form, in a body called the bride. Amen? The renewing is connected to the resurrection. So if you go to Romans chapter 6, just to add this here, and then we're going to hit on these straight thoughts that I want you to take with you, some principles. But Romans chapter 6, 5 through 6 says, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him." Here's the beauty of this, saints. We have an old man that we carry around with us even after we're saved, after we've received Jesus and what he did for us at Calvary. We carry an old man around with us who's crucified. Basically, he's dead. We don't want to resurrect him. But it's like carrying around this old dead thing, and we're learning, let's keep putting that old dead thing off, because who would want that? Who would want to carry a dead person around? Put it off. Then it goes on to say, crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that you should no longer be slaves of sin. That's a whole other subject, but it's very powerful, because we once were slaves of sin. Hallelujah. But now we're free. Amen? Our thoughts are connected to this world we live in. Brother Branham said it this way. He said, "Your thoughts are louder in heaven than your words are on earth." Now, he said the angel of the Lord told him that. And I want you to understand, I believe that's the absolute truth. Your thoughts are more powerful than your words. Even though your words are your thoughts expressed, but that's what takes care of this earthly realm we live in, time, matter, and light. But in all other dimensions, your words have somewhat of an impact, but your thoughts have more of an impact. And this is why you could be saying one thing on earth, but God is hearing your mind saying something else. You know, people live a lie, right? Hey, saints, don't be tired. I just moved this weekend, like my whole house. That's what we've been doing, Friday, Saturday. We've been moving. And I want to just thank so much people who helped. I want to thank them on Sunday because not everybody's here, but Sister Karen, Brother James and his family and others who've come up and helped us move. God bless you. Appreciate all of you for that. But, I realize even the challenges. Look, there's challenges I'm facing. I could tell you some challenges I'm facing that some of you are going to react with, oh, no, you okay, brother? We'll pray for you. And I want you to know that's not actually the right reaction. The right reaction should be, praise the Lord, let's see what God's going to do here. That's how I want to live. That's how I've been living. When trouble comes, I'm thinking, okay, Lord, what amazing thing are you about to do here? You know, when I'm down to my last car and my BMW dies, the motor almost burnt out, but I mean, it ran out of fluid because it all ran out and the engine heat went all the way over into the red. And I shut that thing down and started processing, towing and everything else. I knew in my being, I felt the old man wanting to react a certain way. All that energy was building up. Oh no, you know, what's going to happen? How are you going to deal with it? And instead, I got in the moment instead of going into the future. I got in the moment and I said, God's going to do something really cool here. And too much of the time, we don't do that. We're so worried about every little thing that we don't know how to just let God be in control. We claim He's our Lord, but is He? Is He really? Is He the Lord of everything? Do you really surrender all? Do I? That's the question. Do we really surrender all? We need to get really good at this if we think we're going to do this big thing that's coming, right? So here's some concepts from last time I spoke on renewing your mind. Everything in our universe is energy. Do you believe that? Atoms, electrons, light, matter, everything. And the reason there are differences in what we see, sounds, smells, is because each energy vibrates at a different frequency. All right, and there's many combinations. If you put one atom will have one frequency. It's surrounded by electrons. It's emanating something. And if whatever that frequency is, it's what the atom is. So if it's oxygen, it's emanating oxygen. If it's hydrogen, it's doing that. If it's helium, it's doing that. So when you put two atoms together, like oxygen and a couple of hydrogen, you have a different frequency. It's still doing its own frequency. We put them together, now it's sending out water, right? H2O. That's water. That's what it is. It has energy. And they've done tests on these things. But listen to how Brother Branham says this, and I think it's in just before he preaches the seals, God hiding himself in simplicity, revealing himself in the same. It's funny that that's the title of his message, and then he gets real technical on us. It's really cool. Don't you love it? God hiding in simplicity. But he says, now let's break that down. We'll bring it. Now, you know, understand now, he's not using actual scientific data here. He's just giving you an idea. He's trying to share a concept with you. He says, now let's break it down. We'll bring it back to as far as molecules. Now, let's say we take number one times molecule 9 times molecule 12. Now, if it had been 11, it would have come out red. But it had to be 12 to make it black. And he was talking about the ink that was printed on your Bible. So he says it takes several molecules combined together to produce black ink. If you had mixed another slightly different molecule in there, it would have been red ink. This is exactly actually true if you study how colors work and pigments and everything else, or anything, sights, sounds, smells, it's all the same thing. He says, then we'll take it that down to the atom. If you take an atom, let's say you take 9-6 times 4-3 plus 4-3, he's just making this stuff up, but it's interesting. They equal atom 16-11. And if it had been 16-12, it might have been purple, see? So to keep it, we have to keep breaking it down. And it shows that there was something back yonder to begin with. That's only common sense. If it's a creation, there has to be a creator behind it. This is really what he's talking about, is the law of causality. In other words, if something happens, there has to be a cause. There's a cause behind everything. Right? This is an established law. Everybody knows. And that's what he's sharing. He's saying, look, if there's a creation, there has to be a creator. And this is a principle I'll share with you today. Principle number one is that God is the creator. How many can say amen? I mean, we all know this. And if anybody who is a scientist studies the law of cause, they won't go into some things because they don't understand it. Like, for instance, they'll say the Big Bang caused this universe to expand, explode, expand. Then you ask, well, what caused the Big Bang? And they're like, we don't know. We're not into metaphysics. Okay, anything outside of physics is metaphysics, so we can't study that. But if you ask them, this is how you pin somebody down like that, even if there's an atheist or agnostic, would you say that something did cause the Big Bang? The answer, of course, is yes. But we just don't know what it is. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you know? Man, you know, you didn't have to spend 8 years to get your PhD to learn. You went around all that. Isn't that wonderful? So that's principle number one, God is the creator. Principle number two, God's children are mini creators. Brother Bram used the term, he says, you are amateur gods. He says, you are miniature creators. You can create a world and go live on it. Isn't that something? It's very powerful. Now, I'm sharing these things with you because I want to empower you. That's my job as a minister, is to empower, equip you. But at the same time, I want you to be aware, I want you to wake up to the fact that you already are empowered, that you are already using it. But it's no different than little children with guns. They're already using it, but they're not using it in a good way. So we want to grow up and learn how to use it right. Rather than like a shotgun, we're blowing everything away. We want to be able to focus it down to get the results you're looking for. Start thinking of what you desire, having it happen in your life. It just really simply means getting rid of old type of software and putting in new software, getting rid of the old mindset and putting in the new mindset. Jesus said, you speak to this mountain. Did he not? Praise the Lord. You have to be specific. You can't just say mountain move. There's a lot of mountains. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't say everybody come forth. You have to be specific. He cursed that particular fig tree, not all the fig trees. You get it? So you have to speak to this mountain. You have to be specific. On some things, you can be general and it works. And I'm going to share with you what that is in a minute. And in fact, if you can understand, even not just general, but even understanding really the full scope of God's purpose for you. The full scope, some people say, you know, God's purpose for you is for you to worship him. But he had angels. So it kind of falls a little short. Yes, he wants you to worship him. Of course, we worship him in a way angels can't. Of course he wants that. That's great. Others say, no, God just wants to be glorified, or God's looking for glory from everything. And he already gets it from angels, yes, but he wants to get it from everything else. Well, he's not going to get it from everything. Satan certainly won't really. Well, in the end, yes, that's true. The devil and everything else ends up glorifying God in the end. But there's an overall real core of what God desires. And Brother Branham, to me, spelled it out the best, because what he said was, way back in eternity, when God dwelt alone with his thoughts, he was the great fountain of love. Now, faith comes with it, and wisdom, and everything else comes, but love is the core. All God's great desire is for family. And you know how we really know that? Not because just the Bible says it, because the theme of the Bible spells that out clearly, but because how many here can say, because we have that. Naturally, human beings are made to need closeness, to need family, to need people around us that bring us joy. And I'll get to the core of that in just a minute, but you'll see it when you start studying the fruits of the Spirit. So that's number one. Moses created flies, did he not? Under the blood of bulls and goats. No Holy Spirit in the sense that we have it. Holy Spirit on his flesh, but nothing in his soul. And yet he made stuff. Wow, we're coming up really short, aren't we? That's why I'm dealing with a toothache, like a toothache. Thinking, okay, Lord, why is this toothache here? Okay, there's a reason. It doesn't make any sense. I just had a bunch of dental work done. I got teeth aching. I got another dentist saying, you need to come over here. We're going to do a root canal. I'm looking for a Holy Ghost root canal. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for God to do something. I'm so sick and tired of handling. I'm going to handle it. Let me handle that. Let me handle this. And I think God's a little tired of it. He's just waiting for us to call on him to do something. It's a toothache. How can we have faith for a whole body change if we can't even have faith for a toothache? Well, you know, it's a cavity. It's, come on, be realistic. You know, use your mind, use your reasoning. No, I'm going to give my body as a reasonable, rational decision that God can transform me from the inside out. And healing is a promise that I hold in me. I hold the whole medicine bag inside of me. If I need a new limb, it can come out from the inside out. If I need a new tooth, a new jaw, a new everything, I'll take it from the Lord. God's waiting for us. He's already done the hard work. We have the easy work. And yet we don't do it. We can't hardly lift a finger. Let's do the easy work, saints. You can speak a world. You can speak a squirrel. You can speak whatever you want. Well, I've tried. It doesn't work. Yeah. We don't even do the try, and if it fails, try again, and try, and right. We don't even do that. We can't even do what Edison did, to do 10,000 experiments and come up with a light bulb. Transform the whole world. And he dealt with natural things. We're dealing with spiritual things. We better stick with the plan. Amen? Principle number one, God is the creator. Principle number two, God's children are mini creators, chips off the block. Amen? Principle number three, creation is by the spoken word. Let there be. You believe it? Let there be. Let there be. Let there be. But I promise you, the Bible is very clear that before he spoke, let there be, he hovered. The Spirit of God hovered over the deep. How long? Who knows? But he was creating an atmosphere. This is the part we miss. We think, you know, I'll just do this and do that. It's not going to happen that way. You have to first create an atmosphere. Hallelujah. As the dove, the term there, the Spirit of the Lord God hovered. Hovered is to flutter like a dove over its young. It's used in the Bible in that way every other place. It means that God was hovering over his creation. This is my baby. This is my baby right here. This is mine. I made this. It's messed up right now, but I'm going to change it. You watch what I do. I can take these materials. This is in my palette. I'm going to take the colors, the paints, and all these materials, and I'm going to build. I'm going to renovate. I'm going to make something beautiful. I'm going to transform this. Maybe 1,000 years, 2,000. I don't know how long he hovered, but he hovered, and he hovered, and he created an atmosphere. And the atmosphere was a creative atmosphere. Hallelujah. It was a creative atmosphere. And God doesn't live a life that things happen to him. Like, he didn't think of the darkness. Oh, this crazy darkness is messing up my life. I can't see. Oh, this water, I can't see stuff, and it's murky and complaining all the time. Oh, it's freezing cold. Oh, it's hot. Oh, I feel terrible. All we do is emanate out that our feelings are no good. And we keep getting things in our life that makes us feel worse. Oh, I hope you get this, saints. The heathen have gone past feeling. They don't know how to feel right. So they're constantly needing to inject drugs and alcohol and sex and garbage in their life to get a little sense of feeling okay, when they don't realize if they could be converted and born again, you could emanate good feeling all the time. For the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. You can have all this, and it's already in you. But we cover it over in a closet somewhere and live in the mess of our lives. And it's your choice. And we blame others for it. We blame our parents. We blame our family members. We blame our school we went to. We blame the country, the state we live in. Oh, this Connecticut. Oh, we blame the country. We blame the president. In some cases, we blame God. When it's our own fault. We've been handed all the power and the tools and the empowerment and the encouragement and the character development. We can do anything if we want to, but we fail to do it because we're afraid to do it. But at the same time, we're actually using the same power, but we're creating the negative, the opposite of what we actually desire. I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. Creation is by the spoken word. Let there be. But remember, principle number four, a word is a thought expressed. The Holy Spirit hovered first. So I'm saying to you, it all starts with your thinking. Dwell on it. Think on it. Meditate on it. Don't meditate on the problem. Know the problem's there. Identify the problem. Then meditate on the promise. Meditate on the word. Meditate on his word. What's at your disposal? What do you have access to? Your brain is a computer. Your mind's a software working in your computer. And this brings up principle number 5. And that is your thoughts are things. Your thoughts are reality. The human brain transmits and receives energy. Praise the Lord. Brother Branham said he called it a control tower. He says on the inside of you is a radio tower. You're transmitting your thoughts, and your thought and thoughts are being transmitted to you. You're receiving and you're giving out these things. And God knows and he sees what's happening, and he has to work with that. That's what he's got to work with. That's why prayer is so powerful, because prayer you can do without ever opening your mouth. You're just expressing thoughts and God's hearing you. Praise the Lord. You could be mute and pray. Your thoughts are things. Brother Ram says your thoughts are louder in heaven than your words are on earth. So this brings up principle number 6. You have the ability to use your brain to create or dial into any frequency you want and transmit it. If you desire, the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are what you think about most of the time. Amen? I like to turn this up a little bit. God is what he thinks. Is that right? A thought of God expressed is God. A thought of God expressed is God. When he expresses his thought, that's God. It's the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Logos in the Greek is the word thought or thought expressed. It could be either one, but it all comes from thought. The thought of God expressed is God. And you, by a vindicated truth, has exposed the truth that the devil has been trying to hide. You are a thought of God sitting there right now. By grace, you know this. By a birth, hallelujah. Because the Word came, and the Word in you caught up with that Word. They met somewhere. There's an invisible union, and that thought of God in you is now manifesting itself. Hallelujah. And Satan cannot tell the difference between that and God himself. We struggle, but we need to stop it, because that's who we're supposed to be. That's who we are. Hallelujah. You have the ability to transmit any frequency. If you want to transmit regret, then guess what? More things are going to come down your path in your life on the road to give you more regret, because you're creating it. I know some people don't like this concept, but it's scriptural. And if you're constantly thinking sorrow, more sorrow's coming. If you're constantly thinking, woe is me, nobody loves me, you get a little more of that. It's very simple. This is not complicated stuff. This is why Jesus spends all of Matthew 5, 6, 7 talking about changing your mind. Don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. Stop worrying, he says. Because your worrying is bringing it. Job said, that which I greatly feared all these years has now come upon me. Hallelujah, I hope you get that. And that brings up principle number 7. Whatever you think about and talk about the most draws near you. It'll come into manifestation. This isn't to stress you out, but just get proactive about what you think about. When you start feeling a negative thought, that doesn't mean that, oh, I just thought something negative. Oh, no, I'm going to have a horrible next month. It's going to be terrible. Stop it. So what if a negative comes in? Nothing's going to happen until you decide what you're going to do with it. Will you dwell on it or will you change it? Change the way you're thinking. Change it. You have opportunity to stop and say, nope, I'm taking every fortress, every thought that rises up against the knowledge of God, and I'm bringing it into captivity to his word, and I'm going to tear down strongholds, hallelujah, these other towers that are emanating garbage, and I'm only going to have one, my soul, my born-again soul tower, and that's the only thoughts that I want to start sending out, because whatever you send out is going to come back. Praise the Lord. And that's why Jesus talks about it in Matthew and in Mark. If you say to this mountain, if you have faith and do not doubt. See, I'm going to give you, next time we're going to talk about why do we doubt? Because doubting is a very subtle thing. It's very sneaky. It's like try driving your car with 1 foot on the gas and 1 foot on the brake. Tell me where you're going to go. That's what we're doing. And you'll notice with cars, if you have the gas pushed down, you can start pushing on the brake, and it can really slow you down. In fact, it'll put it in neutral. You'll be revving nowhere. See, so that's why he says this. So we'll touch on that later, but I want you to understand that you can remove the doubt very quickly. It's not hard to do. It's just a simple shift. Something that I've learned in the message, something that I'm learning in the Word, something the Holy Spirit's teaching me right now. And that's why he basically says you can speak to that mountain and have it removed and cast into the sea. And just believe what you say. Believe what you're thinking about. So there's two things that we're going to be putting together to help us get these thoughts in the place where they need to be and to start producing what we desire to see in our lives. How many feels like your life has been a bit of hit or miss? You had like good things and bad things, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. Are you a little tired of good, bad, good, bad? We want the bad, it's going to come anyway, but it needs to be reduced so that when it does, our reaction has to be changed where it's going to be now, oh, okay, I just got a flat tire, praise the Lord, something really good is going to happen. Right? And that just brings less bad in your life and more good. And you could be in the same situation where you got a flat tire, you pull over, and somebody is kind enough to pull over and help you put a tire on out of the blue. Like, you don't even know who this person is. How did that happen? Because you're reacting better. Make sense? In Luke 24, it says two men were going to Emmaus. They were in the worst state they'd ever been in. Jesus had died. They trusted he was going to set up the kingdom of Israel. They're discussing it. They're talking about Jesus. Even though they're sort of sad and depressed, they're talking about Jesus. And the Bible says, and then Jesus drew near. Look, whatever you talk about the most comes near you. Whatever you think about the most comes near you. You're attracting stuff in your life all the time. All the time. Don't think the world is so smart because they seem to have come up with this so-called secret. It's right in the Bible. They extrapolated it out of the Bible and left the Almighty God out of it. The Bible says something in Deuteronomy, I believe it is, 28 or somewhere in there, that the most blessed people are those who know the secret of the Lord. That's the secret. The secret is to live like he lives, think like he thinks, act like he acts. That's really the whole plan of the new birth, is to make us like him. So we have to stop being like we were. Amen. Brother Bram said that. He says, notice the two men to Emmaus, they were walking and they were talking, and then Jesus drew near. He says, if you just talk about him, he comes near. If you talk about the heroes of the faith, Hebrews 11, they circle around. Praise the Lord. We are surrounded. How do we get surrounded? Because we're talking about, wow, look at these men, look at these women, look what they've done. And they start drawing near. They've got to be around where winners are. Because they're winners. But the win isn't completed until the last people win it. Till we get through the checkered flag. Amen? Whatever you think about, keep this in mind. Whatever you think about, this is principle number 7. Whatever you think about is attracted to you. Whatever you want, wants you. If there's a deep calling, there has to be another deep that's been calling first. You get it? You can't desire sulfur unless there's sulfur in an eraser. You see how that story goes. You can't desire ice cream unless there was something called ice cream. Everybody wants ice cream after church today, right? So whatever you're looking for is actually looking for you. The Bible kind of clearly says no man seeks God, God seeks man. That's true. But at the same time, it also says seek. And seek and you shall find. And seek him while he's near. And so there's a commensurate. You know, there's something that triggers in us that there's a seeking God that causes us to seek Him. When you think health, then health starts coming to you. Hallelujah. It's not a fake it, make it. It's you doing, as Brother Branham said to the lady in the wheelchair, I want you to picture yourself walking. I want you to think about yourself getting out of that wheelchair and walking. And he preaches a whole sermon, and he has a healing line, and then at the end of it, she jumps up and starts not only walking, but running. So there she goes. She's running. How did that happen? He never spoke any discernment over her, nothing. He just got her in the right mindset to be thinking and even feeling, and I have to give this away, right? Feeling what it's like to be healed before you're even there. Already be there before you're there, and you'll get there. Praise the Lord. Because when you do that, it's coming your way. It's just flowing at you. Hallelujah. Philippians, as you know, says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, all seven of these things, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and God, and the God of peace will be with you. How many can do this from now on? It's get this memorized. Write it on a card, stick it in your pocket, whatever you got to do. And as soon as someone brings up something about the politics, you know, American politics, world politics, North Korea, just say, oh, hold on a minute. Finally, whatever things are true, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, I'm only going to think and meditate on those things. We have to stop allowing our minds to be filled with all the negative and the scares and the things that scare people. Because what good is it? What does it really matter? What can you do about it? Pray for your leaders, but do this. Think these thoughts. Listen, how many here would hate to go home if you still have a computer or a laptop and get on it and find out there's a nasty virus on there? Just nasty. I mean, it's just it's messing everything up. Nobody wants that, right? We pay money to protect our computer from getting viruses and junk. But our minds, we just let anything go in there. This is way more valuable. They said they can't even invent a computer like the human mind. This mind and this heart is too valuable. We need to start thinking about what are we allowing to come in and get very serious about it. Not just think about it, but let's change it. Change the diet, amen? And finally, I'll end on this, and we can have the musicians come, but if I could say there's one really great thing that God really desires, more than just being worshipped or to be glorified, God's great ultimate desire is He just wants His children to be happy. Pay attention. God's great desire is He just wants you to be happy. That's what He wants. That's what He desires. And our biggest struggle is that we think this new job will make me happy. This new relationship will make me happy. This new experience will make me happy. We're always looking for something to make us happy. When you have the choice, you get to choose as a mini minor creator. You get to choose to be happy. Oh, no, I got to have a reason, Brother Elijah. I can't. No. No, you don't. You have a reason. You have so many reasons, it's unbelievable. It's up to you to start pulling your reasons out. Counting your blessings, naming them one by one, identifying them. You know, but you don't even need that. You just need to make the decision. I'm a happy person, and I'm going to stay happy. Nine times out of ten, whenever Brother Branham says, you have cancer, you have this, and he would say, now go, sister, and be happy. Go rejoicing. That was the secret to their healing. I wonder if they walked away and said, nope, I still feel it. Oh, no. Oh, man, it didn't work. Oh. He's like, that's the fail. The fail was you didn't hear the last part. Didn't matter how much he discerned. What you didn't do was listen to, go rejoicing. Jesus Christ makes you well. I am already healed. I'm not going to be healed. The doctors did an x-ray on my neck and claimed cancer. They claimed arthritis. I don't care, cancer, arthritis, AIDS, it's all the same thing to me. Doesn't really matter. We freak out about those things. Oh, Brother Elijah, we're going to pray for you. Listen, I'm looking forward to what God's going to do. I don't know what he has in store. I just love the way he does stuff. He's so creative and so amazing and so loving. And that's all I desire. I just want to see him be glorified, and I get to enjoy that. So I'm asking you to pray that way. Just say, Lord, just do above wherever we can think or imagine. That's why you want to think a lot and imagine a lot, so he can do above that. If you think low, little, you get nothing. So they said arthritis. It's from an injury years ago, I'm sure. All added up. But in the end, who gets the glory? And so what we're going to do is we're going to put God first. And these are simply challenges. They call them health challenges, right? Physical challenges, but they're really faith challenges. It's a faith challenge. It's a challenge of faith. And faith is simply taking God at his word and believing in a finished work. And that's what I believe in. So I can't wait to see what amazing thing God is going to do. And you know what? And if he does something, that might be small. I mean, you may have, you know, maybe he'll deal with a toothache, and then he'll deal with arthritis, and then he'll deal with something else. You may think, oh, you don't know. My family has a big health challenge. I don't know how we're going to overcome all this. Let's just keep elevating. If he can do something small, something we definitely believe in or are excited about, and he takes care of it, we start getting more energy to believe in something bigger. So let's start with something small and watch God do that, and then watch him do something bigger and bigger and bigger. Amen? All right. Hallelujah. Let's just pray, and then we'll sing. Father, we just want to thank you for your word, for your power, for your victory, for your love, and your Holy Spirit that moves in our hearts, in our midst, teaching us along the way, teaching us how to think, how to speak, how to react, how to be. Oh, Lord, we're so excited to know this day we're living in. What great plans you have for us. Bless us this day. Use us this day in a mighty way. May each and every one of us realize that we have within us this force, this power, that we can simply change what we choose to think on and think on things that we desire to see manifested more and more and more in our lives. Let us not focus on what we don't want, but let us focus on what we do desire. And then, Lord, you, through your power, bring it to pass. We thank you, Father. We bless you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Our new man is love, joy, and peace. That's the new man. Let's put on the new man. Our old man is regret, worry, and fear. Let's put him off. Let's get rid of him. Choose you this day who you will serve. Who will you serve today? I choose to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. May his word have power in my life. Just like the paper. think about it. Feeling so much better. Feeling so much better. Talking about this good old world. Feeling so much better. Talking about the good soul. Let's go on, let's go on. Talking about this good old world. Let's go on, let's go on. Talking about the feeling so much better. Singing. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, be with us as we go. Keep us always reminded, Lord, of your positive word. The Holy Spirit is always positive, never negative. Bring us into that realm, Lord. Forgive us for allowing ourselves to drop down. Let us rise as eagles into the heavens, above every cloud, every darkness, every storm, into the sunlight itself. Let us ripen in the sun. Let us become fully who we were born to be. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you till we see you by God's grace on Wednesday. Amen. How about this one? I feel good.